Hi, I'm Rachel T.
Hi, I'm Eva.
Hi, I'm Rachel G.
We are all Girl Scouts, and this is WGXC ACRA.
Two Hudson Valley-based bands, Frenchie and the Punk and the Dust Bowl Fairies, perform at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock on May 12th at 8 p.m. You can find out more on the WGXC community calendar about the two bands. Frenchie and the Punk is French-born singer and percussionist Samantha Stevenson and American guitarist Scott Helland, who played with Deep Wound. The Dust Bowl Fairies include Ryder Cooley, John B. Wooden, Liz LeJudis, Andrew Stein, and Ruby LaRue. Again, they're at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock Thursday, May 12th at 8 p.m. Go to the WGXC community calendar online to find out more information about this show and many others.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-eyes into here's-how-you-cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
Wavefarm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Delmar Wellness Center of Alachua, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to Forgotten Geek on WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA, Catskill, Hudson. This is Corey McCaslin with an edition taking us into the madness that is the multiverse. Marking the release of the latest Doctor Strange, we'll be hearing an installment from the obscure, forgotten, possibly mostly lost late 60s local New York radio drama, adapting the Sorcerer Supreme's classic Ditko Lee run, as well as a little music I see as theme to it, and a tribute to two fallen pop culture mainstays. First up, though, some geek speak. The long-awaited wobbling of Netflix's House of Cards continues as Reuters reports a Texas-based investment trust is filing a suit claiming the streamer misled investors by failing to disclose its loss of 200,000 subscribers over the first quarter of 2002, which the streamer attributes to inflation, competition, suspension of service in Russia, and account sharing, which they're threatening to crack down on. Yeah, and Hollywood will one day wipe the scourge of digital. Can't even finish that sentence. Oh boy, you can bet that the new regime running Warner's after the completion of the Discovery merger are thankful one of the DC movies they push to next year is The Flash, because critiques Ezra Miller was miscast aside, he may have not been putting on as much of a performance, and we need to talk about Kevin as we thought. A few weeks after WB pushed Aquaman, Flash, and Black Adam's releases around, Radar reported that the Fantastic Beasts star was arrested for disorderly conduct at a Hawaii karaoke bar. Then, almost a few days after, was slapped with a restraining order by a couple claiming that after they paid his bail, he stole from them and threatened to murder them. Less than a month later, IndieWire broke that he was arrested after refusing to leave and hit a woman in the forehead with a thrown chair when he finally did. TBH, possibly TMI, I had anger management issues in my teens, more than the usual teen that is, so I'm not without empathy despite my typically snarky tone. So all best wishes and hopes he comes out of this healthy and stable. And don't be surprised if whoever is directing the future path of the fastest man alive decides to bring in either of the Wallys to wear the speed suit. The Batman Who Sparkles will continue to rise, though, as at last month's CinemaCon, Warner's officially announced a sequel to this year's oddly but welcomely uplifting and hopeful, even as it brought a sheen of seven, first superhero smash of the year, with director Matt Reeves and Robert Pattinson back. This was a month after the excellent, as expected, Colin Farrell version of the Penguin's HBO Max series was officially picked up. While Reeves said the first announced spinoff, Gotham PD, is being reworked to focus more on Arkham Asylum, and if made, won't arrive until after the waddling, legitimate businessman makes his bow on the streamer. Hopping over to another universe, Puck News claims Warners are considering sending the Leslie Grace-led Batgirl film to cinemas and not just granting it to HBO Max, as they've also already decided to do for the now-filming Blue Beetle movie. Though, as Batgirl's finished, this would require some post-production polishing. This would also help them avoid having Michael Keaton's returning Batman's second appearance be his first, given the aforementioned Flash's delay. See also Julia Louis-Dreyfus's debut as Contessa in Black Widow's post-credits, coming out after her second appearance in Falcon and Winter Soldier, though at least Marvel could blame that on the pandemic. Speaking of the Azure Scarab, after first reports Sharon Stone would be returning to the world of super baddies almost 2 decades after the Halle Berry Catwoman to portray new villain Victoria Cord, the Wrap reported it will instead be Susan Sarandon, bearing a family name known well to Blue Beetle fans. We'll also see how The Wall deals with the major hit she took in the emotional climax of Peacemaker's first season. Variety reporting Viola Davis's ruthless squad mastermind Amanda Waller will get her own HBO Max series to be written and produced by Watchmen's Crystal Henry. The animated Harley Quinn, slated for its third season sometime this summer, will also expand in the near future. Hollywood Reporter announced a straight-to-series order has been handed out by HBO Max for Noonan's, a spinoff which will see Ivy's scene-stealing ex Kite Man and his new gal, Flash Rogue Golden Glider, running the titular Cheers for the Scum of Gotham. On the other hand, the CW wing of DC is contracting, with two Twitter posts confirming the suspected cancellations of the fan-favorite little show that could, Legends of Tomorrow, and the troubled Batwoman, ending after their respective 7th and 3rd seasons. Wonder Twin Powers deactivate. 3 months after it was greenlit and before production could begin, that hashtag show broke that Zan, Jaina, and Gleek won't be hitting the screen after all, a victim of the post-Discovery merger regime's reassessment of their slate. In miscellaneous DC adaptation news, THR reports HBO Max has handed a series order for Neil Gaiman and Matt Wagner's Dead Boy Detectives to be show run by the flight attendant creator Steve Yawkey. Meanwhile, Deadline reported that Charlize Theron will executive produce You Brought Me the Ocean, an adaptation of the Aqualad-focused young adult graphic novel by original Blue is the Warmest Color scribes Alex Sanchez and Jewel Morrow. Now comes the part where I bring the show down for a moment, but with the promise to follow with a true, I hope, one of my all-time favorite comedians and scene stealers would appreciate. It was a gut punch to me and many fans when Gilbert Gottfried recently unexpectedly passed away at age 67 last month due to a heart condition. With his breakout extended walk-on in Beverly Hills Cop 2 and his stand-up, he became a beloved figure for me even before he secured immortality through Aladdin, and his acclaimed Amazing Colossal podcast became an unexpected source of new avenues into the forgotten for this show. So to honor him, I hope you will all endure his rendition of obscure comedian Larry Raglan's Dummy in the Window.
Today I thought I saw a dummy in the window, but it was you wearing a new dress as usual, trying to look your best. Impossible, cause with you it's not really what you wear. Why don't you wash your face? It's a disgrace. Today I thought I saw it there in the garden, but it was you sitting a beach chair, a yellow one, the red, white, and blue one, you already ate. And oh no, you're 60 pounds overweight. I don't care, I'm glad you're there. Today, I thought I smelt something awful in the kitchen, but it was a shower, no, you couldn't have. You should bathe every hour. I keep telling you, and although I can hardly breathe, it's all so true. I still love you.
It up to maximum dance. Get the party started with 24 full force dance tracks on 2 kickin' CDs. Free with your paid subscription to Entertainment Weekly. CDs or audio cassettes absolutely free when you subscribe to Entertainment Weekly. Entertainment Weekly is your ultimate guide to all that's hot in the world of entertainment, behind the scenes and without the hype.
I've been thinking about you.
Call now to maximize your dance collection and get 30 issues for 4 monthly installments of only $5.99. That's almost 70% off the cover price.
Yeah, with LPP.
Credit card and pick up the phone for maximum satisfaction. Save almost 70% on Entertainment Weekly and get the maximum dance CDs absolutely free.
Well, I don't care how you bring them, so you bring them young. White man in the desert with his Salt Lake City tongue. Hit at the mothership, hit his Plymouth Rock. Sees them bring a nation into radiation shock. All that was righteous and all that was good. Get up on your cross because we're running out of wood. Can't you see? Help them to believe. Put up the golden arches and take away the trees. Need some ashes and ransom mayonnaise. Put everybody out the pasture and let the people graze. Make them all submissive and take away their drive. Make a sign of the crucifix for the burgers, shakes, and fries. Can't you see? keeping things in order from a temple in the sand. 8% from everyone's a law of Disneyland. You can watch him from his casket, he's so perfectly preserved. He maintains the entertainment we so righteously deserve. This time it throws the Christians to a rabid Lion King. Watch a toothless Pocahontas hear my people sing. Can't you see?
That set started with Gilbert Gottfried, backed by John Murray, covering comedian Larry Raglan's Dummy in the Window. We then marked a different passing with the only ad I could dig up for Entertainment Weekly, who were a major touchstone of information for pop culture obsessives like me until the internet really took off, their last print issue hitting newsstands last month. Then, as a little bit of balance, we got Mojo Nixon declaring Disney is the enemy. With Moon Knight's first flight ending on a brutal post-credits reveal indicating Mark Spector isn't quite as whole as he thought, let alone free of jerk arse boss Khonshu, naturally one expects a second season. But while promotion for the finale went from describing as a series to a seasonal finale, exec producers Mohamed Diab and Grant Curtis said nothing has been discussed yet, and Marvel submitting the show for Emmy consideration as a limited series further throws some doubt. I figure he's likely to turn up in the Werewolf by Night special, as that's based on the book he first delivered Vengeance in, and along with the rumored Midnight Suns or Secret Defenders Magic All-Stars movie, another possible destination is the Echo miniseries, as their relationship in the comic almost led the Deaf Assassin to make her debut in Moon Knight before they decided Hawkeye was a better fit. The Fantastic Four will need a new pilot for the Fantasticar, as Deadline broke that Spider-Man helmer John Watts has stepped down from the Fourth Time's a Charm reboot of Marvel's First Family. All comments are that as an amicable split, born out of Watts feeling a bit superheroed out for now. And the next entrant in Sony's Spider-Man universe is El Muerto. Who's El Muerto, you ask? A more recent addition to the comics, a superpowered wrestler who appeared in one story to wrestle the wall crawler in a mask versus mask match, and then teamed to fight his father's old enemy, El Dorado, is how I answer. Well, props for thinking outside the box, Sony, as Grammy-winning rapper Bad Bunny will put on the mask and tights. If Jack Black shows up post-credits to recruit him for the Luchador Initiative, it'll be their best film yet. Moving outside of big two superheroes slash vigilantes, Sam Raimi surprised the rap with an affirmative answer that his franchise semi-non-starter, not counting the direct-to-video sequels, Darkman may get a proper theatrical sequel, saying he knows Universal has a producer attached, but nothing more. While in a more gothic setting, Bill Skarsgård will paint his face a different kind of white. Deadline reporting Pennywise 2.0 is the latest to take the lead in the long-delayed attempt to bring the Crow back to the big screen. Sadly, though, the Bone Cousins have once again been denied a hop in animation. The Wrap reports Netflix has scrapped an animated series adaptation of Jeff Smith's classic fantasy comic, Bone. Now for one of the few, possibly in existence and definitely hard to find, episodes of New York station WBAI's 1967 to 1970 series, adapting several of the original Lee and Ditko Doctor Strange stories. Here is the Sorcerer Supreme in his first confrontation with the Dread Dormammu.
Men call him Doctor Strange and speak his name in whispers. It's daytime in the city, and unsuspecting men go about their work. The astral body of Doctor Strange, tired from travel and travail in distant lands, casts no shadow as it glides almost silently towards the Master's retreat, there to rejoin his physical form.
It is good to be home again. Now I can rest, knowing that Mordo will not trouble me for a long time.
But no sooner does the Man of Mystery regain his mortal body than he finds himself in the grip of a powerful spell.
What? Only one man has the power to cast this spell, but why?
Suddenly, halfway around the world, Doctor Strange receives his answer.
Guruji, say no more, my child. We are not alone. I have called you for a very special reason. Look to your left through the eye of the amulet and tell me what you see.
A spirit form? An ifrit? Does he dare to menace you, Master?
No, no, my pupil. He is merely a messenger from the Dread Dormammu.
Dormammu? The most powerful of the dwellers of the disputed dimension? What does he want of us?
Many years ago, that dimension was called Disputed, but his name is no longer suitable, for Dormammu is its sole master. Were he content with that, you could rest, Stephen. But now he plans to enter the dimension of men. Yet I am too aged, too weary to stop him.
Say no more, my teacher. I shall confront him.
My child, were it not for his slaves, such as this Ifrit here, Dormammu might not even perceive your attack, though you hurled your most powerful spells.
Then please, Master, dispatch him at once to announce me. To Dormammu.
Ah, it is what I hoped you would say, my pupil.
Be gone then at once. You know I'll answer.
You will regret this day, both of you.
That spirit was itself once a lord in their world. Even as Dormammu's slave, he retains awesome powers. Their world is fraught with dangers. In the end, you will need more than I have taught you. For even I, at the height of my power, was unable to defeat Dormammu. Now, though surprise avails you not, Chela, you must depart at once. Take care you meet Dormammu neither before nor long after his messenger returns. It were best you fought him while his anger can help, as well as crush you. May Rudra prepare you a way.
With incredible speed, the aged hands of the Master form the complex mudras of a spell, and Doctor Strange is transported as swiftly as he was summoned. Quickly, the pulsating begins to cease, and a dreadful world takes form. The world of the Mindless Ones, the world of the Dread Dormammu.
The journey was short. Would that I could find the ruler of this world as quickly. Perhaps with the amulet.
But as Doctor Strange sets out across the scorched gray wastes of the Dark Domain, he is watched by zealous eyes of Dormammu's messenger, who has lingered in returning to his lord.
So, it was wise to wait. It will be easy to defeat you. And though I have never battled a mortal before, it will give me great pleasure to slay you and earn me great favor with my master as well. Prepare to die!
Recognizing the messenger, Doctor Strange feels victory more than defeat and meets the attack with defense alone. And yet elsewhere in this world, other slaves have detected his arrival and have fulfilled their duty to Dormammu.
I saw myself, and by his amulet I could see that he is not the Ancient One, sire, but the pupil.
What is this flesh? How can it so rise to mock me? Where is the Ancient One? Can mortality excuse him such an insult to my dignity? You have done well. It is his pupil. I can now sense his presence. Go there, subdue the Ifrit, and bring them both to me.
Yes, sire.
His disciple. It will not do. I would be demeaned by such combat. There can be but one answer. The Ancient One knows I cannot be stopped in my own dimension. So he sends his disciple to draw me forth in haste. Then he can battle me on Earth while his rotting powers still exist. How can such dust be so presumptuous? I have beaten him before, and very soon we shall meet again with Earth as prize.
On the wasted plain outside, the battle between Doctor Strange and the Ifrit takes a sudden turn.
This is not your doing, mortal, but the palace watch. Dormammu knows we are here.
Quiet! Dormammu knows more than you can find words to suggest. He sends for you. You too, sorcerer. Come with me or be dragged.
Eager to retain what strength he has left, the master of the mystic arts remains silent, and soon he and the Ifrit are brought into the presence of Dormammu.
So, you return at last, my swift messenger. And what is the news you bring?
The Ancient One, my lord!
The Ancient One refuses to face me, but sends his pupil instead. And do you think that I send you, that all this might transpire unbeknownst to me? I could have entered their world and scotched this vile mockery, but you...
Mercy, sire! I only sought to relieve you of the indignity of slaves!
Enough of your lies. You sought above all to gratify your whims. It were better you had sought to aid him. I cast you out to the land beyond the barrier. You are not worthy of the protection I grant my slaves.
No!
Should I call on him again, he will not linger. And now, mortal, speak up. Let us have your message.
I have no message, but speak for myself. You are forbidden to enter the dimension of men under penalty of
enough.
Death.
Enough. None may speak thus in the presence of Dormammu. Where is your master? Summon him at once.
You'll have to deal with me first. You wish to attack the Ancient One. It cannot be done while I am still alive.
You dare continue in this fashion? You are a bold fool. but you would do better to play the messenger. For then, you might save your worthless life.
That is not my first concern, but rather that I protect Earth.
Then, you shall live only long enough to see your world my captive. I shall hold you until then.
With incredible force, the spells of Dormammu leap forward at the magician, and the swirling fires in his eyes and mouth seem only to burn brighter with the effort. Shielding himself with the amulet, Doctor Strange attempts a counter.
I call upon the vapors of Valtor.
But the swirling mist never reaches its objective, and the master of the mystic arts is thrown back by the spells opposing him, and the center of his perception splits open wide and swallows him.
Consider this well as you lie in limbo, sorcerer. If you would save your world, you must first defeat Dormammu. But this cannot be done. If you agree to summon your master here, you may live on as you do now, my slave. If not, you will die when I have done with him and your world. Consider this well indeed.
Alone in an alien dimension, captive of the most powerful of the lords of black magic, Doctor Strange is about to fight the battle of his life, and the fate of the world is at stake. Be with us next time for the exciting conclusion of this episode of Doctor Strange, Master of the Mystic Arts.
Forgotten Geek on WGXC continues as we come out of the first part of the 1967 radio adaptation of Doctor Strange's first confrontation with Dormammu. So before we get the exciting climax, here is one last spell of geek speak for this edition. And what better way to start that than with the announcement of the latest actor to essay the role of another famous pop culture doctor, as DoctorWho.tv was the first to carry the announcement, Nakuti Gatwe is the 14th Doctor. The Rwandan Scottish actor, who won the Scottish BAFTA for his performance in Sex Education, will presumably make his debut at the end of October's title-yet-to-be-revealed Jodie Whittaker finale. Another classic time travel show is a lock to attempt its long-awaited comeback as well, with NBC given the full series order for Quantum Leap, which will see lead Raymond Lee, backed up by a team including Ernie Hudson, seeking to pick up where Sam Beckett left off. Watch this space. After swearing off franchise fare due to the reception of the since-semi-redeemed Prometheus and the unlikely to ever be reassessed as not that bad Trek Into Darkness, The Ankler claims Damon Lindelof will follow the acclaimed Leftovers and Watchmen adaptations and his controversial last film, The Hunt, with an untitled Star Wars film. Per my now just being stated new rule of only reviewing shows after the full season, no more prematurely glowing reviews for the likes of Devs or delusion born of denial defenses of Game of Thrones. I can say that Picard Season 2 was okay. As the Blank Check podcast says, a gentleman 6 out of 10. Without hedging too much into spoilers, it's been confirmed Santiago Cabrera as Rios, Allison Pill as Girardi, Evan Evagora as Elnor, and Issa Briones as Soji last season, Corey this season, will not be returning next season. This leaves Pistu supported by Jerry Ryan 7 of 9, Michelle Hurd's Rafi, and possibly Orla Brady's Laris, whose social media indicates might only be playing a smaller role. Whatever the case, this comes after the revelation that the next and last season will be a full Next Generation reunion, with already on the cast as multiple Soongs Brent Spiner, previously appearing Jonathan Frakes and Marina Sirtis, as well as the finally returning LeVar Burton, Michael Dorn, and Gates McFadden. Now for the conclusion of the good Doctor Strange battle.
In the first half of this episode, you'll recall that Doctor Strange was overcome and cast into limbo by Dormammu, ruler of the Dark Dimension. Alone and unaided and seemingly helpless to prevent Dormammu from invading the domain of men, the Master of the Mystic Arts considers his predicament and the fate of the world should he fail to defeat this awesome enemy.
Never since the accident have I felt so helpless, so unprepared. Nothing in my training has given me the power to understand, let alone to defeat such an adept as this Dormammu. And the amulet seems almost to potentiate his spells. What was it the Ancient One said? In the end, you will need more than I have taught you. There must be a way.
But even as Doctor Strange floats in helpless contemplation, the ether before him begins to coalesce. And a woman of noble bearing appears to the magician.
Heed my words, man from another world. You must not battle Dormammu.
You waste your breath. Nothing can prevent this from happening. I don't fear death in the service of the men of my world. In fact, I have come to expect it. But why do you seek to aid me?
Do not misunderstand me, sorcerer. I fear your victory more than your defeat. I watched your duel with the Dreaded One. You were already tired when you met him, yet no one in this dimension has ever taxed his powers as you did. I am thinking that if by some miracle you managed to defeat Dormammu, it could mean the end of us.
Us? Of whom are you speaking? Who are you?
I am called Clea, one of Dormammu's myriad slaves. I speak for others like myself.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
Then you must be shown. Prepare yourself for such sights as have never before been witnessed by human eyes.
With a mere gesture, the woman causes the random shimmerings of the void to converge, forming images and sounds of another place.
This is only the start of the eerie spectacle you are about to behold. These are the outskirts of Dormammu's domain, where the Mindless Ones dwell.
The Mindless Ones?
Yes. See there, beyond. They are primitive, savage, totally deprived of intelligence or the finer sentiments of kindness and love.
They seem to have quite highly developed powers. Do they not destroy each other with their energy bolts?
No, for to do so, they would only destroy what seeks to destroy in turn. They have lived in this dimension since time immemorial, always striving to kill us and to ruin all that we cherish. Look out! They have seen us. I must destroy the image. Only one thing contains them. A psychic barrier maintained by Dormammu encircling his entire domain. Without this, he would have no slaves, no land worth ruling.
So while Dormammu is a menace to mankind, he is nonetheless a protector to his own people.
You speak of saving the men of your world. But in what way are they different from the men of Dormammu's? That is why you must not defeat him, mortal. Only Dormammu can save us from the Mindless Ones.
Meanwhile, in another dimension, distant only by a fault in the layers of time, other men consider the outcome of the titanic duel which is about to take place between Doctor Strange and the dread Dormammu.
And yet, all things considered, it doesn't seem to me that this news is to be laughed at, Mordo.
Miss Strange is indeed a fool. He has no knowledge of such power as Dormammu wields. Through his stupidity, I may yet defeat the Ancient One and... It is good that you have come and told me this, my friend. But do not fear. Return to your world and observe what transpires. Do not fail to give my fondest respects to your lord.
I will do so at once. And for this service, you will grant me refuge in this world should the sorcerer defeat Dormammu?
Of course. But it is as I have told you. This meddler is not as powerful as you fear. He has only eluded me by the most phenomenal luck and the use of his amulet. But you say this serves him little against the dreaded one.
At least it appeared to be the case as they fought. Farewell, then. I shall do as you bid.
Another fool loose in the ether. Dormammu will surely win, and Earth will be his. Yet he will need a governor. I shall rule Earth yet, and more if all goes well.
Unaware of Mordo's plan, Doctor Strange still lies captive in the void of the Dark Dimension. Alone once again, he considers the appeal made by Clea and the outcome of the final confrontation with Dormammu.
To save both worlds, I would have to defeat Dormammu and then recreate the barrier. It's absurd. I could never control that much energy, even if I could find its source. Besides, I will need all of my strength to defeat Dormammu. And this much must be done.
Hardly has the magician spoken these words when his body is hurtled through space by the force of an unsuspected spell.
Come. Bear no flesh and bones. The time is here.
Dormammu. And Clea. What have you done?
She is merely transfixed. She knew the penalty for speaking to you, an enemy. She has betrayed me, and thus hastens your doom as well as her own.
But she was only trying to help your subjects. To convince me not to fight. What could be wrong with this?
Silence. I promised you a reprieve, sorcerer. But your conspiracy has angered me beyond all measure. You will both die. But which of you will die first, and which will have to witness the monstrous death?
Namo Vakam, Rumo Nayana, Ramini Yaya Parayos.
What is this?
Kavasmai Davani Vaya Kavate.
Doctor Strange has taken the offensive, hurling one spell after another. Dormammu is temporarily surprised by so sudden acceleration of the sequence of anticipated events, and he counters wildly, initially missing the magician.
May the fire of Agni release her from your spell.
Your fatal mistake, mortal. I have to been told of your self-effacing oath. But by my power, the spell will hold, and you will die.
Calling upon ever greater spells, Dormammu begins to close upon his opponent. And the deadly vortices of power strike further and further into his defenses. Then, in apparent desperation, Doctor Strange attempts a ruse.
Observe, Dormammu. You attack a mere projection. I am here behind you.
Skillful, but useless. I can see that you are neither of these visions, but their common reflection in the air. Useless. I have powers enough to wither them all.
But unknown to Dormammu, while Dr. Strange draws more and more of his energy, the psychic barrier surrounding the Dark Domain has begun to weaken. The Mindless Ones rapidly sense the vulnerability of the once protected realm. With great speed, they begin to pour into the center of the domain, destroying all in their path, until finally their rampage comes to the attention of their preoccupied overlord.
The Mindless Ones are free. Hold mortal. Other lives than yours are at stake. Surely you will grant such a truce. I shall take no advantage of you during this period. May the rings of Ragador contain you, creatures of the night. Back, I command you.
He has turned his back on me, and yet...
The barrier doesn't hold. I cannot contain them all.
It's now or never. I call upon the Eye of the Amulet. May its power be one with that of Dormammu.
Strengthened by the mystic power of the amulet, Dormammu's spell becomes more and more effective until at last the Mindless Ones are held and forced back.
The spell holds. The barrier is complete. But you, sorcerer, you have presumed a great deal. I curse the fact that I needed your help. I curse the fate that has placed me in your debt.
Everyone has his weaknesses, Dormammu. I suspected all along that your pride would force you to honor such a debt.
What will you have, vile carrion? Wealth, power, perhaps this woman.
The woman's
well.
Freedom and safety. And a promise, dreaded one. You must vow never to enter the dimension of Earth. Ever.
Oh, so be it. But I shall never rest until I have avenged this indignity. Never.
A short time later, high in the mountains of Tibet, Dr. Strange confers once again with his aged master.
So if this is correct, Guruji, Mordo has already signed such a pact with the Dreaded One?
This is what I fear, my child. And so once again you must not take the rest you so desire. But for greater deeds you will need greater powers, and you have earned them. I give you my cloak of levitation. Fly, cloak.
I pray I may be found
my
worthy
pupil,
of this.
My pupil, you have already been found worthy. Now go, for I must meditate. May the Vishanti protect you, my chela.
And so the shadow of the magician darts across the globe, while ordinary men, ignorant of the danger averted, go about their affairs. Be with us again next time for more of the occult adventures of Dr. Strange, master of the mystic arts.
With Dormammu defeated for now, we head into our final set, one of my often only make sense in my head thematic sets. This one for Stephen Strange, Wanda Maximoff, and America Chavez's record-breaking journey to the multiverse of madness. Here's Power Man 5000's 2020 re-recording of their late 90s alt-rock classic, When Worlds Collide.
Going on here, you got the system for total control. Now it ready. Body out there, now watch us up, yeah, cause we can't go. What is it really that is in your head? What little life that you had just died? I wanna be the one that's taking over. Now this is what it's like when worlds collide. Fly or this fear to stop. I'll go along, and then you realize where we get there. I say 9 or 10 drop. Now who's the light and who is the devil? You can't decide, so I'll be your guide. And one by one, they will be hand chosen. Now this is what it's like when worlds collide.
It's a sin. It's a sin.
The final set started with the 2020 re-recording of When Worlds Collide by Power Man 5000. And we just heard Hidden Citizen's cover of It's a Sin. Thanks for listening. I'll be back in two Tuesdays to close out the 60s with One Hitter's 1970. Until then, stay safe as we go out with Alien Sex Fiend's Magic Pyramids remix.
You seek magic. You know old tricks. You seek magic. Narcissistic figure standing looking down.